Let's keep saying that. Thank you, Jane.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is nice to see some of these faces closer up. That's awfully nice of you. I would like to welcome any and all of our visitors today. We would ask that our visitors just raise their hand, please, so we could see where you are. There you go, back in the back. Welcome. What? Yes, the Coronas are back. And several others are back. Be sure you greet them this morning. Be sure that you fill out the registration pads, the red pads that start over here on this side and go across. Also, in the back of your pews, you will find the blue slips for any prayer concerns or celebrations. Would like to make a little brief announcement. This is in your bulletin. There's a correction to the week's announcement about the church directory. They're taking pictures to burn a CD for the new pastor to help her learn faces and names. If you notice that it was quite crowded in the narthex this morning, that's why, because they were taking pictures. And they will be taking pictures for the next few weeks or few Sundays. Okay, thank you.
This is an announcement that is not in your bulletin because we did not know about it when the bulletin was printed. Ray Goin died, and his memorial funeral service will be at Sacramento Methodist Camp this Wednesday at 10 a.m. Ray and Joy Goin were active at the camp for many years. Ray was a minister with a radio ministry. For a long time, they attended services here. Both of them sang in the choir. We haven't seen him for the last year because Ray has been slowly dying of cancer, and the Lord finally called him home. So the service will be at 10 a.m. at Sacramento Camp. If you would like to stay for dinner, you need to make a reservation with the camp. Phone number is 575-687-3414, if you can't remember it. Our church secretary, Karen, has it. But you need to make a reservation. The price is $11 per plate. But they were longtime members of this church, and I think you all need to know that this Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please stand as we sing our opening hymn, Easter People, Raise Your Voices, page 304.
Join me for the opening words printed in your bulletin. Christ is risen.
Now what?
The disciples clung to each other. They huddled in the upper room waiting.
Would the authorities come to take them too?
Instead, Jesus himself appeared, despite the locked door.
What next?
Next came doubts and questions, assurances and instructions, and a last word.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
Christ is risen. Now what for us?
Now we come together to worship the one in whom we believe.
Lord God, we are bold to worship you even with our own doubts and questions.
Assure us and instruct us that the resurrection did come, but only after Jesus' cry of why. Then his suffering and crucifixion.
May God's peace settle in our souls as we worship and praise the saving God.
Amen.
Page 385, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
Would you join me now in reading the confession printed in your bulletin? Wondrous God, we confess that at times our doubts and fears override our hope and faith. Forgive us when we lose sight of the joy of your love and instead fall into disrepair and gloom. Lift up our spirits, Lord, and help us to remember the promise of new life here and now, not just the hope of resurrection for the future. Forgive us, restore us, and renew us. In the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
The tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. There is no darkness now, only light. We are forgiven, we are loved, we are restored, receiving the gift and promise of new life and resurrection now. Go and share the wondrous news of God's love in Jesus the Christ. Amen. And now we'd like to invite the children to come for Paula to have a children's time with you. Come on down. The children and the young at heart. Give her the microphone.
You need the microphone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, all right.
The Sunday after Easter. Yes.
Ooh, we got one up here. Bingo, she got the answer right. It's Bright Sunday.
Why in the world would we call it Bright Sunday? Anybody know? Because Jesus is risen and got like a great big joke on the devil, didn't he? Yeah. And so, you know what? We're going to share some jokes today. Uh-oh. Just because it's a bright Sunday morning.
Oh, no.
What is it?
Oh, our favorite.
Are you ready? Okay. Grab me an egg. There you go. I put it in eggs because it's still close to Easter. And besides that, I like these breads. Okay. Okay. Open them up and you'll find some candy in there. But most important, you'll find a white sheet of paper. And that's your joke. Okay? Open it up and look at it. We did this in Sunday school too. My seniors, they like jokes. Okay. Okay. Did you find it? Okay, who wants to be the first one to read theirs? Don't be afraid of me. I really don't bite. I've had my baby shot.
There you go. But I didn't know when the moon is had enough to eat.
It's half full.
When it's full.
Yeah, thank you. All right, who's next? Can you read it?
You ready?
The alphabet. That's good. Thank you.
Why did the boy bring a ladder to school? He was going to high school.
Would invite the ushers to come forward, please.
Joy.
First of all, Susan Salidas asks that we be praying for her son's father-in-law who is near death. The father-in-law is near death, and so please be in prayer for that family as they walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, in your mercy. And from Chuck Smith, we have a request for prayer for Bill, who had a major heart attack and stroke and is in ICU at Gerald Champion. So we pray for God's presence and healing mercies to surround Bill. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We also bring to you this day that Judy Hatfield had tests this last week, and she will be seeing a breast cancer surgeon tomorrow. And so, Judy, your church family is going to hold you tight and close in prayer. You can count on it. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Glenn and Judy are going to be traveling for the next 2 weeks, and we pray for travel mercies for them. And I leave this afternoon after church to head to Lubbock for my last eye surgery. So I'm excited about that. And so for safety for our travels and for healing mercies on my eye, I request. And so, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Kendra Apodaca shares with us that Serena was just up here reading a joke. Wasn't it a good joke? Yeah. Okay. Serena and other local children sold a record 265 dozen donuts in order to send 50-plus Cloudcroft and Mayhill children to the Young Lives Ablaze Ministry Conference in Albuquerque. And Kendra says, thank you to everyone for helping make this happen. Serena will have your donuts available for pickup today after church. So the donut line after church, the picture line was before church. All right. So Serena, appreciate you and your working on behalf of sending lots of people to this conference. You're a good one. We're glad you're here. All right. Let's go to God in prayer. This morning, I'm thinking that what we need to do is pray for each other. And so, first of all, would you direct your prayer thoughts to the persons who sit on the row in front of you? And now, how about the people behind you? The people on your left? The people on your right. And for the many who sit here this morning with unshared prayer needs, for Pastor Francis, and Lord, for our church, that we may see the way you want us to go, and then that we may do it. And so now we rest the concerns of our heart, praying as Jesus taught us to. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Don't forget it. You know, there are a lot of people, yeah, Easter is over. You know, the leftovers are put away. Most of the candy's eaten, and they're on to whatever is next. But we are an Easter people. We are here because of what Jesus did that one week ago today. So we're going to keep talking about Easter for a few more Sundays, and we're going to keep singing Easter music because we are Easter people. The setting for today's passage of Scripture is Easter evening. In other words, Sunday night, last Sunday night. And you remember that on Easter morning, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the other Mary, as the Scripture says, another woman named Salome, who encountered the risen Christ, not just an empty tomb with a rock rolled away, but they actually had conversations with the risen Christ. And it says that they turned and they ran, they skedaddled back to where the gathered disciples were. They knew that people were up in this room with the door locked because they were afraid the Romans were about to come get them. And Luke describes what must have been a deeply hurtful response for those women who had just seen Jesus. Luke says that the disciples thought they were telling an idle tale. Ow! How that must have hurt. And they would not believe the women, Luke says. But while that's sad and painful, these women had seen and they believed. That evening, in a house somewhere in Jerusalem, the disciples are cowering behind locked doors, all of them, the men and the women, and they represent for us the epitome of that struggle with doubt that those of us who are honest with ourselves will say raises its ugly head and stares us in the face often. So listen to the Scripture reading from John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive, they aren't forgiven." And then Thomas, the one called Didymus, and Didymus means the twin, so he had a twin out there somewhere, we don't know his name. Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples said, "We've seen Jesus." I'm almost like, "Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. We saw him and you didn't." No, anyway, that was my imposition on the text. But Thomas replied, "Unless I see the nail marks on his hands, put my finger in his wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand in my side. No more disbelief, just believe." And Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs and with his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in the scroll, but these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing you will have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our text said that the disciples feared the Jews, but lest we twist that phrase into something to justify hostility toward the Jews, it's essential to remember that the writer of the Gospel of John uses the phrase, "the Jews," to refer to the leaders and the authorities, the political elected people who happened to be Jews. Now, in later generations, people began to use that expression from the Gospel of John to justify hateful and heinous acts toward the Jewish people. Even to this day, it still goes on. What you must know is when John says the Jews, he's talking about those people in power who colluded with Rome, who were always looking for a way to get rid of Jesus, because Jesus was a threat. He was popular. He was a charismatic figure. There were masses of people following him, and that was a threat to their own positions of authority. So remember, it could not possibly have been the Jews in terms of a blanket statement meaning all Jews are bad to the writer of John, because for the first 20 years after Jesus, every Christian was a Jew. Every Christian was a Jew. The early movement was only a Jewish movement. Think about the people the church now calls Saint Luke or Saint Peter or Saint. They were all Jews. It is impossible that the accusation and the condemnation is toward the entire race or religion. Well, here comes Jesus popping up in front of the disciples. Now, he doesn't strike dead their adversaries as they hoped he would. He does not rid the world of pain and suffering as they hoped he would, not the pain and suffering that the world routinely inflicts on each other. He stands in their midst as a testimony that adversity, affliction, and death do not pronounce the final benediction. God's love for us is everlasting and is in spite of circumstances. The presence of Jesus in the midst of these fear-filled, doubting mess of disciples is recognition that we are human and that our faith is not always as strong and confident as we would like it to be. When serious illness strikes, when natural disasters devastate and kill, when wars persist, when we lose a loved one, when people are hungry, when injustice wins the day, when doubts seep into our minds, Jesus can still come and stand in the midst and redeem the circumstances of our lives. If Jesus was repulsed by the doubts and fears of those disciples gathered in that room, then he would not have been there. Yet Jesus goes and appears tenderly, peacefully, and carefully right where people were. Today's text reminds us that this was also the case for the closest friends of Jesus, doubters and fear-filled, all of them. But stop and think a minute. Of course, doubt must be a given in our wrestling with life. Look at all these close followers of Jesus who had doubt and fears, but the church calls them saints. We read that one of the disciples, Thomas, was not present on Easter evening when Jesus first appeared to them. A week later, Thomas is with the others, and they are again in the house behind closed doors. Jesus appears again and says once more, "Peace be with you." He then walks over to hurting Thomas and gently says, "Go ahead and touch me, Thomas." You see, Jesus came to him right where he was most tenderly at risk. "Go ahead, Thomas, touch me. It's okay." And in that gentle approach, Jesus embraces all of our doubts. Jesus acknowledges that doubt is inevitable. It's part of our human condition. So right now, those of you who've beat up on yourselves at various times in lives because of you've been having doubts, it's part of the deal. The real part of the deal is that we stay in the midst of community where others can keep us encouraged to get us through those hard, doubting times. Jesus came to the doubter with the same outstretched arms that he came to the entire world with. No one breezes through life with a firm faith that never wavers. It was Jesus himself on the cross who cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Doubt, fear, insecure, unsure. When life is cruel or unfair, naturally doubts emerge. Now there's a Christian writer that I enjoy. Her name is Kathleen Norris, and she writes a book where she describes her husband's long struggle with illness. He was in an out-of-town hospital receiving treatments, and she was staying in a nearby hotel, knowing that what he was going through was terminal, and at any minute she could lose her husband. Evenings alone and lonely in the hotel room. She wrote, I was fearing what it would be like to lose my husband. And when he finally died, I lost my identity as a married woman. The community of two that had constituted my marriage was no more. And I had no idea how I could inhabit the devastating word, widow. As for prayer, I wasn't surprised that when I needed the consolation that only prayer can bring, I was unable to pray. Have you ever been there? Unable to pray? Empty inside? Just not having the words? Doubt is like a desert. It's a life-threatening place, for sure. It's an empty environment where life-giving water is scarce. The protection of shelter and shade is difficult to find in the desert of doubt. Nourishment is non-existent. The desert is a barren place, and when doubt dominates our internal landscape, we feel barren inside. When Jesus says, "Peace be with you," he wants us to have confidence in God. He wants us to let go and just trust God, not only when life is good, but also when life brings grief and struggles and suffering. Not only when life is delightful, but also when life is a disaster. Despite her emptiness and doubt, Kathleen Norris kept praying. And she prayed using a tool that's very helpful, and that is some written prayer that somebody might have written. It might be the Lord's Prayer, something that all you can do is just recite or read because you don't have the words yourself. She kept praying this simple prayer. She prayed, "It's another day, O Lord. I know not what it will bring, but make me ready. Make me ready, Lord, for whatever it may be. If I'm to stand up, help me to stand bravely. If I'm to sit still, help me to sit quietly. If I'm to lie low, help me to do it patiently. And if I'm to do nothing, let me do it gallantly." Many people give up on God when life turns sour. They mistakenly believe that their good fortune had been because they deserved it or earned it or the result of some good that they had done. And when life unravels, they think that God has abandoned them, that they're being punished, or that God had never been there in the first place. Sometimes faith is simply claiming a belief that God is our strength in times of trouble, our guide when the way is uncertain, our hope in times of despair, even if we do not feel it. Feeling is something that can be manipulated. It has to be up here and up here where you hold these things dear and strong. But sometimes faith means to continue to trust God when our confidence is shot and when we feel overwhelmed by doubt. Faith is continuing to pray when we're not sure God is even listening or even there. It is continuing to come to worship when we'd rather be doing something else. It's continuing to embody God's way of doing, even though we look around us and there's people around us who seem to be being successful and they're not following God's way one single bit. Faith is gritted teeth. It's determination to keep up the spiritual disciplines of worship, the sacraments, prayer, financial giving, compassion to others, even during a dark night of the soul. Henry Nouwen is a great spiritual writer in our lifetime. And he wrote in his journal just a year before his death, he says, as the darkness and dryness of my prayer seems to be signs of God's absence. Or is it a sign of a presence deeper and wider than my senses can contain? Or is the death of my prayer, the way I've been praying, the end of my intimacy with God? Or is it the beginning of a new communion? Mind you, a year before his death. Is it a beginning of a new communion beyond words, emotions, and bodily sensations? I've had a number of times in my life where the particular devotional tool that I had been using with great, what would I say? I mean, I loved it. It was working for me, whatever that means. And all of a sudden, it starts being dry. It doesn't work anymore. It's like, this particular devotional guide that I've been using is just not meeting me in my soul. And it's kind of disconcerting because it was so sweet to experience that intimacy with God that other way. I wanted to keep it going. But what it was a releasing me to introduce me to something else that was coming. It made me open to something new that I wouldn't have even considered because the other way was so comfortable and good. So sometimes these times of disconnect are merely times of launching us to the next that's going to be very sweet indeed. One of the God thinkers that I love is Anne Lamott. And y'all, you got to read some of her stuff. At least be friends with her on Facebook, Anne Lamott. She is a hoot. And one of the things that I love about her, she is more real than real. I mean, she tells it like it is. You talk about having lived a rough life, and her toes are in the mud that we've all walked through. And the way she speaks is just delightful. And one of her expressions is, she says, trust the captain, trust the crew. But now she's quick to say that this is not an original expression with her. She stole it from an episode of The West Wing a few years back. And what was happening in this story was a U.S. submarine was in trouble in North Korean waters. And the president back over in Washington, D.C., mind you, half a world away, and all of his advisors are faced with a dilemma. Do we interfere or do we not? And they know that if they try to get radio contact with the sub, then the North Koreans will know where the sub is, and that'll be curtains for everybody on the sub. So they decide, the president decides, I'm going to trust the captain. I'm going to trust the crew. Lamont latched on to that phrase because as a Christian, she knows it is a marvelous statement about keeping faith in God, the captain, and the Christian community, the crew. It resonates with her so well that she has tattooed on her ankle, trust the captain, trust the crew. That's how cool Anne Lamont is. No, I'm not getting a tattoo tomorrow. Although I'll be retired. No, but remember, she's the one a few weeks ago we talked about that she was having a disastrous life and she stumbled on this little church in San Francisco and she called them. They had the rope that they tied a knot in the end of that she could hang on to in tough times. In times of fear, in times of loneliness, when our souls feel barren and our lives seem meaningless, it is vital for us to remember that. Resurrection does not come after success. It follows suffering. Resurrection does not come after celebration. It follows crucifixion. The new day dawns after dying in doubt. The new day dawns after dying in doubt. When life is a struggle and your faith is weak, trust the captain, trust the crew. Your spiritual practices, if it feels like you are simply going through the motions, hang in there. Hang on in there with your Christian community. They're your crew. Let them hold you up when you can't stand. Trust the crew. Sooner or later, you will sense God's Spirit and your inward being will change. One of the things I hear so much out of you is about how close you feel, that sense of family, the good friends that you have in this community. Well, you're challenged to go deeper still, to be there for people who are in tough times. And there's a challenge to each of you who go through tough times to let the community hold you up. In time, gratitude will return. Feelings of joy will kick in. And the peace of God that is beyond anything reason and intellect can grasp will settle in your soul. I believe it. It's in the book. And you believe it too. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's sing together and stand, please, as we sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," number 462.
Just a friend.